Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lady Gang. I'm Becca Tobin here with Jack Vanek and Kelty Knight.
Hello.
Wow. That was like almost a harmony.
I really want to tell you my good week.
Okay, well, it's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
Ahem. Guess what, sock haters? Socks help you orgasm.
Huh?
Oh, sock haters.
Like sleeping in socks?
Do socks help you orgasm?
No.
Here's why this random trick leads to hotter sex.
Sick.
Because your feet are actually hot?
Socks help you orgasm because... It turns out that wearing them during sex keeps your body covered and it helps you to feel more satisfaction. Mm-hmm. There was a study that did and it looked at people's brains when they're climaxing, and the people that had socks on felt a stronger
scan.
Who's paying
for this study?
Where did you find this study? It's probably like a sock company.
I know. It's probably a sock company.
Yeah.
In
what website's that?
Only 50%
like
of the regular no, the only 50% of the couples regularly achieved orgasms, and when you put socks on them, 80% achieved orgasms.
Such a lie.
If you want to wear have an orgasm, wear your socks to bed. Bad week. I'm in neighbor jail. I went down to the park with my dad and a hacksaw. We tried to cut a tree that was falling on my yard, but technically was in my neighbor's yard. And my neighbor yelled at me. This is the third time this year I've been in neighbor jail. I think it's me.
You think? Common denominator.
Yeah. I fucking hate neighbor jail. Is there? Because you can never leave.
Well, stop.
No, you can't.
Well, also, just stop angering your neighbors.
Stop doing shit that is outside
of your
house.
It's your
fault. It's mine.
You drove too fast down my street. That was the first time I was in neighbor jail.
Number one, I did not. You can't drive fast down your street because it's tiny and you just cannot.
Well, you were driving too fast.
Your neighbor is a dick.
No, he's not, Brad.
He
I love you so much. Sorry about your tree.
He was pissed that
same
we were...
Neighbor?
Same neighbor.
Okay, no. He was pissed that we were filming Lady Gang TV and we had 50 people at your house. Not that my
true.
One car was driving 8 miles an hour instead
it's
of
true.
Five.
I have like the nicest neighbor ever who has a fluffy white dog, and he was like, hey man, like I just gotta tell you, like I'm a pretty cool guy and this is pretty annoying.
Yeah, it was annoying for us.
Yeah.
And okay, anyways
okay, I'm gonna go. Number one, I'm never gonna accept that sock fact. No.
Well,
whatever.
I'll be sending you the article from Psychology Daily.
From socks.com.
From buythesesocks2orgasm.com.
Okay, my good week is our Lord and Savior Hoda posted my quote on Instagram.
What?
Yep.
Hoda
Cobb.
Yeah.
Posted.
Cobby.
Oh, Cobby.
Cotby.
Cotby. Mm-hmm. Posted Jack Vanek quote.
No.
With my name in it.
No.
Whoa.
You're so famous. Did you get more followers?
Didn't what? Tag me, so
oh,
no, I didn't get any followers.
Quote? It's very long.
It's you're the books, you read the films, you watch. It's like this long quote I wrote when I was emo when
oh,
I was
yeah,
younger.
I had it in the back of a jacket, I think.
Oh, did you?
What's crazy to me is that I was like, what's the title to our book? And Jack's like, I don't know. And I'm like, but you can birth this 15-sentence quote for Hoda?
The title for a book is just never going to happen. Okay, my bad
it
week.
It happened. It's too late. It's there.
They're still asking us what. Okay, anyways. My bad week. I was on the plane the other day. I get up to go to the bathroom and I'm walking down the aisle and I look at my left and there's this girl that is eating a full bowl of ramen. Ramen is a weird choice for a plane.
Did she get
meal.
It from a restaurant at the...
It was in
you
a...
would have to.
It would... No, I don't...
It's a liquid.
That's true. But it was in a plastic... Seemed like a not throwaway plastic bowl.
She brought her own BYOR?
BYOR.
Bring your own ramen? But you can't. She added the hot water at the airport, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. But then, anyways, I go to the bathroom. I come back. The ramen fucking spill all over her plane or her seat.
Aww.
Hit turbulence while we're in the bathroom. Walked back out. A total mess all over
no.
her lap. But that's
no.
why you don't eat ramen on the plane. I'm sorry. What do you expect?
That's a terrible plane food.
That is. You just... There's no soups, please.
Just as a reminder, never accept the coffee or tea from an airplane.
Yes.
Yeah, I just read that whole article.
Yeah,
about
my girlfriend
it.
Told me like 10 years ago. She's a flight attendant.
And
she said that sometimes they accidentally put the bleach that's supposed to go in the toilet one in the water
but
one, and they have to clean it out. And then you're like basically drinking chemicals.
You know, sometimes
no, it's not the chemicals; it's the poo.
Yeah, it's like
that's why they say not to
because they use the airplane water, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you're, they can probably get
well,
away
poo
with
is
it.
Everywhere
they probably can get that's away true. With it because if you. Boil water enough, it's supposed to kill the bacteria.
It's true.
But I If I'm desperate, I'll still drink it.
We're all showering in poo water.
I got on a JetBlue flight, actually, a couple days ago. Terrible fucking flight, by the way. And the flight attendant, the pilot was getting off. Like, he had obviously, they'd all flown there together, and they were loading us on. And he's like, do you guys need anything from the airport? And both flight attendants asked for a hot cup of water.
Oh.
And I was
because
like,
they won't even drink
they
it.
They won't even drink
they
it.
They know.
It's so bad. Anyway. Okay. Maybe I should talk about my bad flight.
Yeah. Okay. Bad week.
Bad week. I am very loyal to Delta because I'm from Atlanta. And I just think that their planes are newer. I think that it's just better. But then I was flying to New York and I was like, oh, I'm going to do JetBlue. And also JetBlue now flies to Burbank. Mm-hmm. And Burbank is a much better airport than this shithole LAX. Mm-hmm. It's much smaller.
And closer to you.
I get on this plane and I'm in an exit row. I don't have an armrest. Like, you know how you book a window so that you can put your arm on the armrest and then lean against the window? No armrest.
Rude.
The TVs were like 2 inches and there was no Wi-Fi.
Because you flew out of Burbank. They put their shittiest plane at Burbank.
They put the shittiest planes at Burbank.
I knew they would do that because Chris was like, I should take it out of Burbank. I was like, nope.
No.
That's where planes go to die.
They getcha.
It's the shittiest plane I've ever been on. It was such a bummer. Like, no Wi-Fi. No movies to order.
Honestly, during the 6 hours I was trying to get in touch with you, and I was like, there's no way she's not on her phone.
Yeah, no.
You always Wi-Fi on a plane.
6 hours.
You have to Wi-Fi on that flight, especially.
No Wi-Fi and no movies.
You're just sitting there staring at the
Think about yourself.
And no chargers for your phone.
That I was on a plane like that the other day. What is this, the Dark Ages?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was fully planning on having power.
That airplane belongs in a graveyard.
Trash it.
Trash.
Let it die in Burbank.
Delta forever.
Okay, here's my good week.
I am obsessed with a TV show. Oh. I don't even know if my blood has felt this titillated in some time.
It is a titillating show.
It's called Rock the Block on HGTV.
What do you do?
It is
like a punk rock?
No. Oh. It's four of their design stars.
Yeah.
You know, Leanne Ford is like...
Yeah, sure.
She's like my
special,
like godlike figure. Leanne, this girl Mina that does Good Bones, that show.
Oh, Good Bones, yeah.
And then there's the girl from Chicago.
Oh, that restores the old houses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the beautiful hair.
And then yes, beautiful hair. And then there's a girl named Jasmine who does another show. Mm-hmm. And they all compete. They're given the same exact spec house on the same street. Four houses. And each week they compete. Room to room. And it is.
I love that.
So good.
Okay. I love that.
Guys, you're home for the holidays. Get that shit on demand.
Rock the block, bitches.
You're welcome.
Rock the fucking
block.
Can
we get
block.
Leanne Ford on our podcast?
I'll make a note right
she's
now.
She's a dream. She's
Leanne
just,
Ford.
The problem is she's
UTI
just
medicine.
So much cooler.
Yeah.
You know?
She's got vibes.
Her cool factor is just so good.
She's like you to me.
Yeah, totally. That's how I felt when I was watching it.
Yeah. You're like, I'm definitely the Leanne of this group. Okay, when we come back, it's time to get sexual.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
All right, so today's episode is a little bit different than anything we've ever done at the Lady Gang before. For the first time ever, our guest is going to be anonymous. Our guest today is a dominatrix. She's been trained by the top doms, that's like dom speak, in the world and is a member of the most illustrious House of Domination in Los Angeles. She's taught classes at DomCom, didn't know that existed, and has been in numerous fetish publications and films. She has multiple celebrity and high-profile clients, and she does this all while living a totally normal and separate life to the outside world. Please welcome to the Lady Gang, our anonymous dominatrix.
Welcome.
We are so excited. We talked about this since we were doing the TV show. We're like, oh, we should have someone come and tell all the secrets. So we're so excited to have you. Thank you for being here.
Hello, ladies.
I didn't even know this existed till I watched season 2 of Pose. Do you watch Pose?
No. You've asked me 800
times. No, because it's so good, and you would love it. Anyway, so on Pose, one of the girls who's like a model makes her side living from like being a dominatrix, and then she puts a guy in a suit, and he ends up like choking on his own barf and dying. But I think that's like just the TV world.
That is a dramatized version of what goes on, yeah.
Okay, so what exactly is a dominatrix?
Great question. I'm probably going to use some words and language that is you might not understand, so feel free to stop me if there's something that you need me to clarify.
Okay.
A dominatrix is a BDSM practitioner. That stands for bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism. Mm. So people visit a dominatrix for a fetish experience. Typically, there is no sex involved. This is what surprises most people.
Buster.
That is, everybody Myth thinks busted. That, yes, that you're having sex with Mm-mm. these clients, and you're not no at sex. All.
No sex and no nudity. I never get naked.
Whoa. Yeah. So what's the difference between a dom and a sub?
So a dom, also known as a top, is okay. the person who is in charge, in control of the situation. They're the leader. And the sub, the submissive, or the bottom, those words are all used interchangeably,
okay.
is the person who is having the experience essentially done to them.
But like, so it's not a sex, but it's a sexual experience, right?
It's a power exchange.
Are these subs getting off? Are they like climaxing to orgasm?
So great question. That varies practitioner to practitioner.
Okay.
It depends on the scene. It depends on that person's fantasy, what they want. Some people love the denial of it. Some people don't. It varies. Personally, I am typically one to withhold. Mm. Most of my sessions do not end in climax.
I have a question. So you're part of the, like, one of the most, the illustrious House of Domination in Los Angeles. Like, what? Is it like a real, is it like a house? Like,
yeah, I could can ring, you explain this?
Can
is,
I ring the doorbell?
It's considered like, can I ring the doorbell? It's considered a dungeon, right? A quote unquote dungeon.
Is it an actual dungeon? Do you go down the stairs?
You do not go down the stairs.
Not underground.
It is a dungeon.
Yeah.
It is a beautifully appointed and decorated warehouse in downtown Los Angeles in a secret location
okay.
that you cannot get to unless you have an appointment with someone who works there. It is absolutely gorgeous. Maybe later I'll show you guys pictures of it.
Okay.
How do people find you?
Yeah.
There's a number of ways. There are websites that people can advertise on. I no longer run ads because I don't take new clients anymore.
Oh, you have too many clients?
I don't take new clients because my books have actually been closed for about a year and a half.
Damn.
But you can run ads on certain websites. Social media up until recently actually was a huge business platform for me, and my Instagram, after having it for 5 years and having 12,000 followers, got deleted by Instagram because they said that it was inappropriate, when in reality I had no pictures that were even suggestive of nudity.
And wow. is this the dumbest question ever. Is this legal?
Not a dumb question, okay. because it's actually a legal gray area. No, it's not illegal. But it's one of those things that kind of rides the line of, is this is it an exchange of sex for money, which it's not, but right. a lot of people think that it is, and it's kind of in a gray area, so it's a tricky question.
Right, because they're not getting sex, but they are. It's a sexual.
But it's subjectively sexual, I think. It's,
right.
Exactly, depending on the person and the act and the thing. That's why it's like cops can zing you for it,
right?
But typically they don't go after doms.
Okay, so a celebrity comes in. Does like
a celebrity stop you right there?
Yeah,
celebrities don't just come in.
Okay,
they only come to me by referral.
Okay, so you
it's not like Brad Pitt, George Clooney, everybody's lining up to get into the dungeon.
Well, okay. Well, here's my question. A lot of times when you go to celebrities' houses, they make you sign an NDA at like the gate before you even get to their house. So I assume when they make an appointment with you that there's some sort of non-disclosure happening.
We both sign one with each other.
Oh.
Mutual NDAs.
Does every client sign an NDA for your, like on your...
There's an agreement. It's an like a, it's almost like a waiver.
Mm. Oh. How much like... Can you say, like, how much money can you make doing this? It's obviously...
You can ballpark.
Like, yeah, ballpark.
So, like, how do you... Somebody that's starting off, how much do you think they'd make? And then the like, number one dom, how much would they make?
You can easily make your entire living six figures plus doing this. gift easily.
Is it a per session type of fee?
Yeah.
Like, so you go get a massage?
Typically it's per session. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you can do other media. So selling videos, photos. I make a ton of money just selling photos of my feet.
This is why we found you. Yes. Should we start selling feet photos?
Not unless you're prepared to deal with the type of people who want to buy your feet photos.
And is that an interesting type?
Do you think?
Typically, actually, they're... maybe I'm just really lucky, but I've dealt with some of the loveliest clients. Mm-hmm. Just great guys who like the way my feet look. And I'm happy to
send
you a custom set of photos for $100 for 6 pictures.
Wow.
Okay. Have you ever fallen in love with a client?
I plead the fifth.
Damn.
Amazing.
Have your clients ever bought you gifts?
Tons of gifts. It's one of the big perks.
Yeah.
One of the biggest perks is that there's a thing called a tribute, and a way to get a mistress's attention is to tribute. Uh-huh. So a tribute is a gift of cash or off your Amazon wish list. So I have an Amazon wish list.
Amazing.
And if a client sends me an email and I don't reply or wants to get my attention for a session, like, my books are closed. So if you want to get my attention, you really have to.
What's the best gift?
I have a client who lives in Italy. He comes to see me. He flies in from Italy to see me. He has a high heel fetish. So before every session, he sends me a brand new pair of Italian shoes.
That is tight.
Ooh. Okay. Do you wear one of those latex outfits?
Oh, hundreds of them.
Like, okay.
Are they the most uncomfortable thing in the world?
Is your sweat.
Real talk. They're gross.
They probably smell.
I had to wear one on Glee.
You wore the cat one, right?
Did you sweat into your shoes?
I sweat to the point where it was shooting out of my wrist, like at the end of the sleeves, every time I moved.
Is that why the latex outfits are considered sexual? Because they're like, you know, your body's all wet in there? Or is it just the way it looks?
It's gotta be the visual.
It's the way it looks. It's the way it feels. Mm-hmm. It's knowing that there's nothing in between you and another person except for rubber.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's turned on right now.
If you guys want to hear kind of a story that might freak you out as if you're a vanilla, but actually is kind of hilarious. I did a session once in a latex cat suit, and I had my client tied to a table, and I dripped my sweat into his eye on purpose.
No way.
That sounds like an eye infection.
Oh, no, he loved it.
Oh, my God. What is the weirdest thing that somebody has requested from you?
Requested? That's a pretty weird... He didn't request
that. Do people get to request, or do you just do whatever?
They can absolutely make requests. So before somebody books a session, they fill out an application on my website. Uh-huh. They talk about what they want. Uh-huh. They've obviously reviewed what I want. And then we have a negotiation before it starts, which talks about what do you like? What do I like? Where do we meet in the middle? What's a hard no for you?
Yeah.
You know, what are your limits? That's
okay.
Always the first and foremost thing is everything is consensual. So they're allowed to make requests, but I'm also allowed to not grant them because I'm allowed to have limits too. The weirdest thing that I've ever had?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Like the weirdest kink somebody's had?
Pooping on you.
That's a hard limit for me.
Yeah, no poop.
It has been requested, but that is absolutely a no. This is going to sound really simple, but I had a guy who had a knee fetish, and he wanted to come and rub lotion on my knees for an hour, and that's all he wanted to do.
But my knees are so ticklish. I could never do that. A knee fetish.
And so I said, of course, you want to rub lotion on my knees for an hour? They're kind of ashy. Come on over.
No way. Yeah. Guys are so weird.
Do all these appointments happen at the dungeon?
Yeah. I've done what's called out calls in the past, meaning I'll go typically to a hotel. Mm-hmm. I don't do them anymore. It's too much work.
Yeah. Sounds like it could be sketchy.
Okay.
So how do you come up in this? Like, how do you get discovered and then trained and then like, how do you get your first session?
Are you at a mall and then
someone's like, oh my God, it's you. You're a star.
Dom queen.
So how do you come up in this? I started because I took a class with, I'm going to leave names out just for the sake of everybody, but a very, very well-known, dominatrix, and I had met her in my real life job just kind of crossed paths, and we had chatted a little about what she did and what I did, and she was like, you should come to my class. It's like a women's empowerment class.
Huh.
And I thought, oh, maybe this sounds kind of fun and I could use a little boost. And yeah. So I took her class and I realized like, oh, I'm actually so good at this. This is a thing that I've been designed for my entire life.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, well, I mean, what if I could make a little extra money on the side? I guess I'll put up an ad and
right.
see what I can do. And so, you know, it's a very small community. So once you get connected, you, you know, I had found met a friend who would let me use her space. This was before I was at the house that I'm at now. And, you know, it just kind of snowballs from there. Social media is a big conduit for growing your business.
Is there an archetype of a certain client that wants this type of experience? Like in Billions, you know how he's like a high powered whatever, and he wants that exchange of power?
Well, it has to be somebody that has money because it's not cheap.
So
right? You
would think that it's always these super high powered people with tons of money, which I'd say that's a third of my clientele.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I would say it's all different kinds of people. I had a client who was an Uber driver who would save up his money. He could only see me twice a year, but he would save up to see me.
Wow.
And I had people from all different walks of life. I had guys who invented apps. I had guys who are distributors. I had a guy who was an alcohol distributor who always brought me bottles of champagne every time. Academy Award winners. High-ranking government officials in the city of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. And now, if a guy comes and he's married, since it's not sex, it's not really cheating.
His relationship and disclosure to his wife is none of my business. We're doing a business transaction.
Mm-hmm.
If he feels comfortable telling her, cool. If he doesn't, cool. It's none of my business. I typically don't even ask.
Or no.
Sometimes they want to share that information
right.
with me.
But what do you think of 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, that movie. God, that movie really hurt us.
It did?
It made BDSM accessible in a way that I think was great because it made people want to explore. But also, so much of that was just an abusive relationship.
That is so true. There was that meme where it was like, if Christian Grey... I don't remember what it was. Something if he was poor, he would just be an abusive boyfriend.
Yeah. He was that whole
It's true.
Thing. It's true. Or like not as hot as he was, he would be like
right. Just be
a creepy guy.
Do you have a safe word? Is it like monkey banana?
Mango.
I'm going to bust another myth here, and this is going to make everyone really disappointed, but there actually is a universal safe word in the community.
What is it?
Red.
Red.
Red is like a universal safe word for almost everybody uses that because they'll use like yellow and red as like assessing if your client. I also use mercy is the one that I'll use a lot. Mercy means like you need to back off, but I don't want to stop.
Oh.
Yeah. So like if it's too much, mm-hmm. you can say like mercy and I'll back off a little bit. But red means like session over. We're done. Everybody drink some water. Let's talk it out. It's time for a debrief.
Okay. Now, if you're married to Kelty and you're just having some regular old sex, like, is that so boring now?
If I was married to you.
Okay. Well, no. So, like, can you, like, now that you're in this world, can you go back and, like, just have, like, normal, everyday married
civilian
person
sex?
Like, civilian sex is a great way to say it.
Or
did you even ever have civilian sex?
I did for a long time.
Huh.
I've always been a little kinky.
Yeah.
I was thought that I was more of a sub when I was younger. And then there's this thing kind of once you switch, it's hard to switch back. When I first started doing this professionally, I had a lot of trouble dating. And
I'm sure.
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
But now my partner is very understanding of all of it. And there is an element to kink that runs threaded through our entire relationship. So,
I love that. What advice would you give to someone who is listening and they're like, wait, this could be good for me?
don't be scared to do your research.
Okay.
And also don't be scared by what you find, because there's varying degrees of everything that you could be interested in. And talk to your partner about it and do the research together and don't spring it on them because that scares people. And just take it slow. Dip your toe in one foot at a time.
Are the rooms red?
One of them is.
Okay. And then do you have, like, I'm just thinking of that Rihanna song. Chains and whips excite me. Ooh, Nana, come on. So do you have handcuffs and chains? Like, what props? Do you have, like, paddles?
Literally hundreds of implements in the dungeon. Everything from your classic bullwhip, 4 foot, 6 foot, 12 foot.
Whoa.
Floggers in varying sizes, paddles of wood, of acrylic, of steel. We have one that's made out of the bottom of a shoe. We have one that's from a boat. It's an oar. We have a classic fraternity paddle. We have canes of every material. So bamboo, acrylic, plastic, metal, rattan.
Oh, I love rattan.
Yeah, oh, like a chair, like a nice
rattan chair.
But I'm going to beat you with it until you cry.
Like a broom? Like a broom?
Is there an on-site, like, medical professional in case things get too, like, there's injuries, I imagine.
No, there's no injuries.
I'm sure something has gone awry.
You're getting hit with a cane that's made of steel. You think everyone's going to walk away bruise-free?
No, they're bruised, but they're not, like...
There's somebody has definitely gotten hurt doing this at some point.
They pour hot wax and stuff.
Do you do the wax?
Oh, I love wax. So we are all everyone who works at the house that I work at is actually first aid certified.
Ooh,
that's a requirement of the owner.
Wow,
but not everyone is like that.
I have a question. Do you have ball gags, right?
Ooh,
do you reuse them?
We sanitize everything. We use medical grade sanitizer on every surface and every implement.
Are there STD checks?
So, no, because there's no sex. And this is the thing that actually kind of makes it a gray area, is we put condoms on the client to protect them and us. That's where it becomes a legal gray area.
There you go.
That's smart, though, because, like,
it's
you can't...
just keeping it clean.
And you can't stop somebody from having an orgasm.
Right.
I mean, if they're accidents happen, I'm sure, and then you don't want all their splugy everywhere.
Splugy. Try to act like a little bit like nice around our guests. A little fancy. Sorry about Jack. She's trashy. I have a question. Are they always naked when you're performing on them?
So when I start a session with someone, I invite them into the room and then I say, please undress to the level of your comfort.
Okay.
It's like a massage.
Some people, it's everything. Some people leave their underwear on. Mm-hmm. It varies. The sensory impact is better if you have less clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever turned down a client?
Yes.
Because they're too poor?
Too ugly?
Too ugly?
I typically actually don't know what they look like until they show up.
Oh. Has somebody ever showed up and you're like, you're so hot?
Yeah.
Like unexpectedly hot?
Yeah.
Someone shown up and you're like, oh my God, I just watched your movie last night.
Yeah.
Okay. What lessons have you learned in the dungeon that you take out to real life?
So I think the biggest lesson that I learned is whatever you look like and whatever you're insecure about, there is someone out there fantasizing about that exact thing who thinks that you are the hottest thing on the planet.
I love that.
Whatever it is that you're like, oh man, I have weird knees. There's a dude out there who wants to rub lotion on your knees for an hour. He's out there.
Wow. It is true. We're all like tailor-made for someone else, right?
Yep.
Someone like loves a big horse face.
Right? Or my giant feet. I have huge feet. Size 10. But there's someone out there who wants my size 10 feet.
That is so true.
Ooh, I love this.
I'm getting a bunion on my foot. Somebody's going to love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's again, with the trash. Okay, last thing before we have you fix our girls' lives. What is one thing you want people to know about what you do and like the stigma around it?
Oh, there's so much stigma about it being this scary, weird, freaky thing, when in reality, we all have these quirky urges deep down inside of us. People are just so scared. There's so much shame around it. And I think the biggest thing that when you're in the BDSM community and around all of these people is there's no shame. It's a completely judgment-free zone. Everyone's allowed to be their truest, weirdest self.
Uh-huh.
And if we could all be 5% less judgmental of other people, the world would be a much better place.
And on that note,
well said.
When we come back, we're going to red your life.
No, the other one.
No, we're going to
green your life.
We're going to green. Right, right. Red's the stop. Right, right. Okay, we're going to red your life.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
Okay, we're back. So we have girls writing in questions, and we try to give them the best advice that we can. Mm-hmm. All right. Question one. We picked these questions for you.
Great.
Question one is from, is pegging for me? So I've been friends with my best friend since high school. He and I are each other's, quote, one who got away. We've never really gotten our shit together, but we did take each other's virginity and have a marriage pact. Yet we've been in and out of each other's lives for over 16 years. Hmm. I am, so to say, at least absolutely in love with him. I've recently gotten out of a 6-year relationship, and guess who popped back up? The sweet old sweetheart. Well, we got a little tipsy and we were texting when he stated, I know you've been having issues in your relationship and I like to be pegged. It's clear that you want me inside of you, but maybe we can work something out that's mutually beneficial. I am shook. I guess my question is, do I go for it even if I feel like I'm being a bit used and I'm in love with this guy, or do I tell him that I'm not a piece of meat?
What's pegging?
It's where the girl wears a strap on and then has sex with the guy.
In the butt?
Yeah.
How did I not know that existed?
I don't know.
How did you not know that?
I mean, I knew it. I knew the strap-on existed.
We're really revealing how truly vanilla Kelty is right now in this moment.
Rude. Okay. Have you ever pegged anyone?
No.
Wait, do clients ask you to stick things in their hineys?
Constantly.
Really?
Yeah. All the time. Huge request.
I have a disgusting question. I must not be the only one thinking this, but does any, like...
Stop. I know where
does
you're
it
going
get
with
messy?
This. So experienced clients who know the process clean themselves out beforehand.
They take an enema.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm aware of what they do.
I just wanted to clarify. Well, I don't know if they just wash their bowl.
No, it's an enema.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Got it. Okay.
What do you think this girl should do? Oh,
pegging.
Oh.
Does she peg?
No. Not in this situation.
No.
That is way too messy and complicated. If you've never done pegging before, please don't start there. Please don't start there.
Don't peg with emotions involved.
No. Oh. Peg a random guy you took home from the bar and just practice.
I couldn't have said it better.
Don't start with a strap on. Start with a butt plug and work your way up, because that hole is not prepared.
I mean, but
just not.
Amen.
He seems like he might be prepared.
He seems prepared.
She's not, though, and that's more important.
Okay. That's true. Okay.
I just learn something every day here on The Lady Gang.
Pegging. Okay, second question comes from Young and Confused. I'm 23 and my boyfriend is 30. We've been together for 5 years and have lived together for 2. Up until about 6 months ago, my boyfriend and I were on the same page about marriage and actively talk about what our wedding would look like. But recently something changed, and now my boyfriend doesn't want to be married at all. He thinks it's a waste of money. He says it just makes for a more expensive breakup. My heart is set on marriage and I'm not looking to get married tomorrow. It could be 5 years from now. I love my boyfriend, but I'm afraid if he doesn't at least open his mind again to marriage, then this might be a deal breaker.
Please. You're not on the same path.
Oh, dump him. Mm-mm.
Dump him.
Dump him. There's
a big difference, in my opinion, between a guy that's like, I want to get married. I'm moving slower than maybe the plan you had in your mind is.
Yeah.
And a guy that's like, I don't believe in marriage. Those are not the same man. You will end up married to one of them. You will not end up married to the other one.
Well, also,
a more expensive breakup is, if that's not the biggest red flag I've ever heard. You're 23. You got your whole 20s to date douchebags. Just go date a couple more douchebags.
Yeah,
get married in your 30s.
Mm-hmm. I know. You don't need to get married anytime soon, girlfriend. Give yourself 10 years.
And also, I feel like all of my girlfriends who ended up with that guy that, quote, didn't really want to get married and didn't really want to have kids, they're kind of on a lone journey. Even though they're technically married to this man, they are pretty much raising the children alone.
Yep.
And they can't even ask for help because then the man says, this is what you wanted. So it's a very lonely ride if you're trying to talk somebody into. They're never going
to
get there.
You should never have to talk somebody into it. And I remember there was a point at my in my last relationship when things started going downhill where I remember thinking, well, I guess I'm in this alone.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's how so many of these women feel because it's like you shouldn't have to make anybody try to marry you. They got to want it more.
They got to want to marry you more.
Yep. Last
question. They got to want to peg you.
Nope.
No, that's not, not how you work.
Not the right use. Okay.
Last question comes from Jane Doe. I've been dating my boyfriend for 4 years and I love him so much. We don't really fight at all, but the one thing we do argue about is that he really likes getting oral sex. Well, I'm surprised. The problem is I really hate giving it. Also, surprise. I'm just really freaked out about the taste of it and knowing what is causing that taste. I also find myself gagging after just a few seconds of doing it. Any advice on how to make blowjobs not suck so much?
Do it in the shower.
Ooh, yeah.
What?
That's because then
because then it's like you're eliminating the smelly ball odor that could be, you know,
present.
You don't have to swallow.
You don't have to swallow. You just spit it out right there. Or you even
let him just do it.
Do it. Finish it off himself.
Yeah.
And
so do you just get on your knees on the tile?
Yeah. I mean, you're not like.
He's standing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to be on your knees, but like it's not that bad.
Okay.
And also I feel like if you're in the shower, they're already kind of hurried a little bit, so they'll probably like get off faster.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a nice long experience. A
leisurely blowjob.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, lather him up in some really good smelling soap that hopefully will be a distraction from the ball odor.
You know what? Becca Tobin.
Great
advice. Smartness.
That's why I like shower sex too, because then it's like you have sex in the shower, you're cleaning yourself off.
Yeah.
The best.
You don't have to feel gross after.
Yeah. You don't have to go get in the shower because you're already there.
Yeah.
I'm so sensitive to smell that like even in New York when I was dating and I would like not necessarily be having sex with these guys, but I was like hooking up and getting frisky. My roommate, my best friend Peggy, would laugh because she'd be sleeping. She was like in medical school at the time and I was a tramp running around the city. She would hear the shower go on at like 3 a.m. and she would know that I was like hooking up with a guy because I would always be like, let's take a shower.
That was your move?
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know what's lurking below the surface.
Yeah. No.
Especially and I don't, in New York.
Exactly. Oh, it's like 90 degrees. We're on subways. We're driving. Yeah. We're
everybody's
dancing.
Everybody's feet smell
a recipe for a ball.
So that's my jam, so the shower.
Body odor. Right.
That is smart. Mm-hmm.
Very clever.
What if one of your clients is stinky? Have you ever dealt
I'll make them go take a shower. We have a shower there.
Oh.
I've done it before.
Basically a Becca.
Yeah. I've done it, but I don't need to shower. You need to go shower.
You're like, I can't get out of this latex suit.
I will tell you something interesting.
What's the secret to getting out?
Stress, sweat, and other kinds of sweat smell different.
Yep.
What smells worse?
Stress sweat.
Oh.
So when somebody comes to a session and they're nervous and they start sweating because they're nervous, it's stress sweat and it smells really bad.
Oh.
It's different than like workout sweat.
Or just like BO.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So true.
Yeah.
Damn, I get stress sweat.
It's bad.
Okay. Well, on that note,
ever had to put a cigarette out on someone's penis?
I've done it on someone's tongue.
Cool. Oh!
Someone put cigarettes out on my bike seat.
They
I'm so mad about
same
it.
Thing.
Two people. I have my bike seat here at work.
They
and,
hate you.
And like, then two different. One time, I noticed. I was like, oh, it must be one of those things where the sun hit someone's glasses the wrong way and burnt a little hole. And now it's a thing. They're doing
that doesn't just accidentally happen.
I love this.
Number one, that's so hard to do, to start a fire with glasses.
No, when you were a kid, you had like the little glass.
That takes so you have to have it there for like 20 minutes in the same
spot.
So you
think it's a cigarette? That's fucked up. All right. Well, Lady Gang Dominatrix, it's red time. Time to stop.
Oh my God.
Thank you for being here. I learned so much. Come back anytime with all the stories. And here's to pegging and flagging.
And you still don't really know what pegging is.
See you next Tuesday. Don't roll your eyes at me. Thanks for listening. And make sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We have new episodes of Lady Gang every Tuesday and Thursday. Follow us on social media at The Lady Gang. Follow us personally at Kelty, most importantly, at Becca. I'm at Jack Bannock. The Lady Gang Network is produced by Will Sterling, Steve Delamater, Kirsten Woodward, and Elizabeth Bequet. Thanks for rating and reviewing wherever you get your podcasts, and tune in for new episodes every single week.